From the Land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 25th day of July 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll detail this morning's USDA press conference as it's related to the MFP payment. The first payment will come in the month of August. Sign-up starts next Monday. The first payment will equal half of the county payment rate. You can find those county payment rates on our website at willag.org right now. We'll also talk today with Dan Zwicker, of course, of Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, and Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. And we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too, with Mike Tenura from T-Storm Weather in Chicago on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers for the afternoon. September corn down 5.5 cents at $4.18.5. December at $4.27.5, 3.25 lower. March futures 2.5 lower at $4.37.25. The May down 2 at $4.41.5. And July corn at $4.44.75, down a penny and 3/4. August soybeans 8.5 lower for the day, $8.82.5 the settlement price. November at $8.99.75, down 8.5 cents. January 8 lower at $9.13.25 in the soybeans. And next year's July at $9.43.75, down 5.5 cents. The bean oil August contract at $28.27, 3 cents lower. Bean meal in the August down $2.40 at $303.90. Wheat futures soft red. September contract $4.99.5, up a penny and 3/4 the July of next year, down a penny and a half at $5.25, and hard red July at $4.88.75 for next year, down a penny and a half for the day. Live cattle futures in the October at $109.90, unchanged. December at $114.35, up a nickel. August feeders at $142.80, 2.5 lower. September up 35 cents at $143.22.5. And lean hogs, August contract down 60 cents at $85.95. October at $78.65. down $2.20. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to take a look at the marketplace for this Thursday afternoon. Hey, good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us today.
I'm happy to be with you, Todd.
Well, let's talk about a couple of things. This morning, USDA released the county MFP payments, and they're different per each county in the state, and we'll have some more details about that. So, for example, in Champaign County, Illinois, an $82 payment, Logan County, $76. If you're in your home county, $70, and they just vary from one county to the next across the whole of the United States. The South did fairly well. I assume that's cotton. I didn't really check. I looked in Arkansas. I didn't see some big numbers. I would have thought rice might have had something there too, but certainly cotton, Georgia, Alabama did really well. Parts of Texas as well, and their numbers were up around $150 an acre. We put that in context, of course, with what's happening in Chicago, where the market for some time now has been on a lower run. What did you make of the trade this week, and what are your expectations for the coming week or so?
Well, I think the market, you know, as I talked last week, it's just basically tracking sideways. I think for the most part, it's kind of wore out with the China trade deal being on and off and on and off. And then the USDA government reports, people have kind of lost confidence in USDA's reporting. And I think the market is just kind of wore out, and the only thing coming at us really that's going to maybe change the complexion of the market is going to be that August crop report, and that's still a couple weeks away yet. And then we'll maybe go from there, depending upon how much changing USDA does do to actually planted acres, and then they'll probably give us a little different estimate maybe on harvested acres. They're definitely going to give us some kind of yield guess based upon, you know, their plots that they've counted out. So, you know, the market is just kind of, I think, wore out. We're coming to the end of the month. Demand news is just very lackluster. Yes, we did get an announcement that China was going to buy 3 or 4 million tons of soybeans, but most of the trade kind of feels that that was just more of a gesture to the United States as they begin to resume trade talks. Now, the wheat sales, export sales for wheat weren't bad, and wheat was able to have a higher day today. But when it comes to corn and soybeans, demand is pretty lackluster. There really wasn't anything to get too excited about on the demand front. You look at the weather pattern, there's nothing threatening in it. And that's the only way you can really get the market fired up this time of year is if you would have a threatening type weather map that would indicate, you know, a major period of hot and dry weather. And at least at the moment, that doesn't seem to be in the card. So the market is just marking time. I think today's market kind of felt that you probably had some funds liquidating some of their length in the market as we approach this end of the month. So that's kind of where I kind of look at the market. I mean, like I mentioned last week, we do see, you know, the technicians can kind of look at this sideways trading range that we've been in and can see a head and shoulders top formation. I'm not sure that's going to be validated, because I think we're more in a sideways trading action, waiting on additional information that the trade can actually work with, and that's not going to come until the August CARF report.
So I've been thinking about what those fundamentals look like. There's an awfully good corn crop that's coming out of Brazil at this time, around 70% harvested, maybe closer to 90% in Mato Grosso, the largest second crop corn producing state in the nation. It does, however, take a bit of time for it to get to the export market ports. Do you suppose that's putting some undue pressure in the marketplace, and will it be relieved as we get into the month of August?
Well, I think right now, I'm not for sure, but I think our prices are actually higher than South America, so that's probably why our export sales demand is real weak. It's a better buy to buy Argentina and South American inventory at the moment. But that should be pretty well, you know, absorbed into the marketplace by the time our harvest begins. And then, of course, whatever our harvest is going to depend upon, you know, what farmers begin to report when the combines start rolling. Now, you know, just looking at the planting dates and the areas that are the good areas and the areas that are the bad areas in the Corn Belt, probably the early yields may come in, you know, probably halfway decent, may come in a little better than expected. But then I think, you know, as harvest moves, you know, into Illinois and Indiana and Ohio, that is when we'll, you know, the trade will expect to see some pretty low end type yield numbers coming out. But see, that's not, may not come at us until we get into late September, October. But USDA will, I don't know if their August report's going to be as important. As, I think maybe their September report may be a little bit more important than the August report. The August report, as far as I'm concerned, all the August report does for the most part is get the trade good and bearish before harvest. The September number is probably going to be a little better number. But October is the month where they do a lot of their revisions. And I think I did see some stuff on Twitter, some guesstimates in a way, what the preventative plant acres may or may not be. You know, probably, what is the range from 5 to 50 million, or what is it?
I think there are a lot of people that have planted acreage down at about 88. But there's, I would guess, 8 to 18 million acres is kind of the range for total range for total number of prevent plant acres across the United States. So bottom end of the range is probably for corn around 85 planted, maybe a bit lower than that for some.
Yeah, then we'll get into what the actual harvested acres are going to be. And my guess, maybe some of the harvested there might be a lot of this later corn, especially up in the north, go to silage a higher percentage than it would normally would. We'll just have to see what those markers are, and then it'll be interesting to see what USDA puts down as a yield, average yield estimate on a national scale. When you only got 50% or 55% of the crop rated good to excellent for this time of year, is a fairly low number to come up with any big high-end yield number, but you never know. I know when it comes to USDA reports, you just buckle up and let them do their work, and then trade the numbers after they come out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what that looks like, because I've been, of course, in cornfields here that were planted clearly, and I would think my May 18 through May 22, something like that, maybe as late as May 25. And boy, there's some ears out there. They've pollinated, and there's some really good out there ears out there. But that's only half the crop in the state. The other half comes after June 5th, and who knows what that'll make.
Well, that's going to be the trick, is what kind of yields that late-planted corn, that June corn, has, and how big a yield drag it is, and then whether or not it really makes the distance as far as whether or not we have a normal frost or a frost a couple weeks earlier or a couple weeks later than average. That's going to be key, probably more so to people above Interstate 80 than anybody below Interstate 80. And I do think there is some corn above Interstate 80, and they're the ones that's going to probably be the most vulnerable to even, you know, a normal type frost.
When you come up, you need to go through Southern Illinois, because I think those guys would disagree with you. Central Illinois may have the best crop in the state, and we were late.
Central Illinois may. Like I told you, we're on our way to Champaign, Illinois for this weekend, and we'll be going through Southern Illinois tomorrow morning. We'll be coming up through 57. So whether or not that gives me any kind of idea of what the Illinois crop looks like traveling 57 from Cairo, Illinois, all the way up to Champaign, I guess we'll get a bird's eye view of anyway of that.
I did at Sunday. Not good again. And I've been Effingham is really rough. I just unbelievably so. You'll just have to see it for yourself, and then we'll talk about it next week. Hey, have a good trip, and maybe I'll see you over the weekend.
Okay, Todd.
Yep, bye-bye now. That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Earlier today, the United States Department of Agriculture held a press conference to detail the MFP, or Market Facilitations Program, payments by county across the nation. You can see those county rates on our website at willag.org. Again, at willag.org. There is a link there, and you can find out your county's payment rate, no matter what county in the nation you happen to live in. Undersecretary Bill Northey gave the details of the MFP program. We'll hear an excerpt of his comments now.
Sign up will begin on Monday, next Monday, July 29th. Will end on December 6th of 2019. Payments, we expect to start mid to late August, will be made to, as we said, three groups of folks. We have the non-specialty crops, that county payment rate. Rob talked about specialty crops, and then to our dairy and hog producers as well. It'll be based on that single payment rate. So what we need from a producer is the number of acres that producer planted to qualifying crops in that county. In many cases, we already have that in the acreage certification the producer has provided to the county. Those dates have all closed, although I'm sure we still have some folks that are finishing up their 2019 acreage reporting. But for the most part, this should be a fairly simple process. We want sign-up to be easy for producers, straightforward, certainly want it to be able to be such that that it does not take a lot of time for them, and that we can get these payments to their to them to be able to address the challenges that they have due to these tariffs that have been placed on our agricultural products. We will have payment limitations on the payments that will go to a producer. Each of the categories will have a $250,000 payment per person or per legal entity. And although you can participate in three different categories here, the payment will be limited to $500,000 across all three categories for a person or entity. We do have an adjusted gross income limit as well. Folks are very familiar with that in farming country that have participated in programs. Last year we had the same. If you do, if you earn more than $900,000, you're not able to participate in a program. We did add the option that if your adjusted gross income, your AGI, is over $900,000, but three-fourths of that income comes from agriculture, then you are able to qualify with the same payment limitations as other producers. There certainly have been questions as well with the large amount of prevent plant acres out there. We had people that, because of flooding or excess moisture, were not able to get into the field and plant. What happens to those acres? It has been mentioned before that they will receive a minimal payment. In this case, it's $15 an acre for the payment for those eligible cover crops. If those eligible cover crops were planted on those prevent plant acres, then they will qualify for that minimal $15 an acre payment. And then the payments will be made. 50% of the payment will be made up front, with that payment being at least $15. So let me talk through that. If you were in a county that or have acres with a $15 payment on it, so prevent plant acres, or a county that has a county rate of $15, you will get a $15 payment on those acres now. If you had over $30, you will get 50% of your payment. So example, if you had a $40 per acre payment, you would get a $20 an acre payment now. Either in between there, if you had a $25 an acre payment, you get a $15 payment with the remainder of it to come in the second and third tranches. Those second and third tranches right now are scheduled for November and January. They are subject to the trade conditions at that time. So hopefully we'll have a situation where we'll be back to a full trading arrangement, and we have some folks working hard to be able to make that happen. If that's the case, then we have what folks want, and that's back to full access and opportunities for folks to be able to trade, and we will not need those payments. And the county rates, as well as the rates on the specialty crops and pork and dairy, will all be online at farmers.gov/MFP at 11 a.m.
It'll be easier for you to find those county payment rates on our website at willag.org. Just scroll down and you'll find a link to the county payment rate for the MFP. As an example, here in Champaign County, the payment rate is $82 an acre. And for most of you, that'll be for corn, soybeans, and a few of you, it will be wheat. It doesn't matter which of those crops are planted. If you have prevent plant acres, the payment is $15 an acre. As long as you have put a cover crop on, that cover crop does need to be sown by the first day of August. Again, you can find more details on our website at willag.org, or you can go to farmers.gov/MFP. Now, we're joined by Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago to take a look at the weather forecast. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us. Let's start with what I think is a pretty calm weather forecast over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it looks a lot calmer as we move forward. The big difference between what's coming up over the next couple of weeks and what we've been through over the last few weeks is that temperatures are going to alternate between some warm to maybe hot periods of time, but also mixed in with some cool periods like we're dealing with today. So we're basically going to end up being pretty close to normal as we move forward over the next couple of weeks. The primary uncertainty regards what happens in about 1 to 2 weeks from now we can see that as we go through this weekend and into early next week, we'll see a pretty nice warm up. So temperatures will warm by about 10 degrees and put us back into the 80s and 90s with lows in the 60s and 70s over the next few days, and especially in during the weekend. A cool front moves through early next week. And then after that, it's a little bit uncertain, but we can basically see that it will be hot off to our west. It will be cool off to our east, and we'll be sandwiched more or less right in between there. And that's where most of the corn and soybeans are grown. So that area would most likely see a little bit of both air masses, sometimes a little bit of heat, sometimes a little bit of coolness. And in the end, you end up pretty close to normal.
Do we get any rainfall in the process?
Well, we will see some rain, but this gets a little bit complicated too. Normally, if you just had a hot weather forecast, you would automatically start forecasting some rain just because you don't need too much energy to create a thunderstorm cluster when you have a hot and muggy air mass. When you have a cool air mass, there's generally not as much humidity in the air, and the air is also generally more stable than what it would be like if you had a hot and muggy air mass. So we will see waves of energy move through, but we don't think that we'll be seeing the hot and muggy air lined up quite right. And because of that, we'll see some rain here and there, but we won't see big, heavy thunderstorm clusters. Now, you can look off to the northwest today and see the radar and see that Iowa's getting a little bit of light rain. These are the types of events that we're going to expect over the next couple of weeks. We will see some thunderstorms here and there. We will see some heavier rain pockets here and there, but generally, we'll just see these lighter areas of rain hitting and missing different regions. And in the end, you end up drier than normal, but not way drier than normal, most likely, but you won't end up way above normal either. So also kind of in that middle zone, maybe a little bit drier than normal. You combine that then with near normal temperatures, and that's kind of why we say that it's a pretty calm forecast over the next week or two. There's just nothing striking that says we're going to see anything extreme on one side of the ledger or the other.
Hey, you enjoy the weather, and I will too. Thanks so much.
Yeah, sounds great. I'll talk to you next week.
That's Mike Tenura. He is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Joined us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Matt Bennett of agmarket.net is not available to us this afternoon. Just a quick reminder that you should visit our website. The address there is willag.org. Not only will you be able to listen to our programming anytime you'd like, on demand at WILLAG.org. But right now, today, you can also find a link to the county MFP payments. So if you want to look up your county, and it doesn't matter which county you are in any part of the United States, you can find that rate right there at willag.org. Just scroll down and look for the MFP payment rate county link. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.